Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
As you know, at this time on a Thursday, we have Leroy Mark, who ushers in the weekend for us. Leroy, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, everybody. How are you doing?
Oh, always lovely seeing you. You know how we feel about this moment. We realize the weekend is around the corner.
Have you had a tough week?
It's been a tough week.
Especially tough or just normal tough?
No. It wasn't especially tough. I'd say the last 2 weeks were tougher.
Yeah, I definitely
This was not the toughest.
Yeah, we've had some interesting weeks, my fallen. Yeah. Very, very interesting.
This was not the toughest. But I think, isn't everybody exhausted?
Yeah.
How did they?
Isn't everybody exhausted?
I'm done.
Yeah.
Someone said to me that it's the end of year. The end of year fatigue came 2 months early.
No, it's real.
I'm feeling it.
It's absolutely real. So, were you even able to watch anything?
I was. I tried to escape by watching some things, but I actually came out more jaded, more really? Annoyed, more stressed by some of them. But I did the hard work, so you don't have to. So, I hope I have a nice selection for you.
Okay.
Yeah,
I liked your selection.
Did you? Even the first one?
No, I didn't mind it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't mind it because of the acting.
Okay.
So let's go at it.
Okay.
No, I didn't totally mind it.
Okay. This is very interesting. So tomorrow in theatres, McFarlane will be enjoying a sequel to the Joker franchise called Joker Folie à Deux.
So I know exactly why you think I would have had a problem because it's a franchise.
It's a franchise. And also, it's a bit dark.
Yeah, but...
It's a bit dark.
But it's...
Yeah, but the Joker, isn't it always dark, right?
It's always dark.
I'm so glad you guys said that because I'm about to burst your bubble.
Mm. Okay.
This has been the most schizophrenic franchise that... I couldn't get it. First of all, the Joker's now a musical, would you believe?
Yes.
So we've got Lady Gaga.
And that's also because I like her.
Lady Gaga.
I think she's very talented.
I think she's very talented.
I think as an
actor. Yeah, just that number thing. When she wrapped herself around Namakaring Shwama.
Yes,
I think after she found herself, she became extremely talented.
I think what was interesting about this was that... So we know Lady Gaga can do music. We know she's gone through this metamorphosis, but she's actually seen herself as a real actress.
She really is.
You know, she's done that wonderful thing of being able to transition very well into an acting role. The issue about this is that the reason why it's called Folie à Deux. So Folie à Deux is a wonderful... So we've been having movies also teaching us about psychology in the past few weeks. So I've had to go back into my textbook. So a Folie à Deux is like a shared psychosis.
Folie à Deux.
Yeah,
Folie à Deux. I've got a bit of a Folie à Deux.
It happens in different ways. So the folie, you know, and the deux is referring to two. It refers to you and I can have a shared psychosis. So you and I can have a same dream, same nightmare for one reason or another. Or you can have multiple personalities.
Okay.
That are having a shared dream, a shared psychosis, a shared vision, as it were. So it's very interesting in that. And the issue here is that this entire Joker movie has nothing to do with Gotham, has nothing to do with blowing up things and causing anarchy and chaos.
Okay.
It's all about the person of the Joker and the character of Arthur, who's the Joker when he's not in drag, is now having the psychosis. And he is in a court, in a trial, because he has now to answer for all the crimes he committed in the previous Joker movie, blowing up and things. So the reason why people are a little off about it is because it departs so far from the genre, because you're expecting to see a bit of, you know, the Joker that you realized, a bit of the Heath Ledger Joker, and it's nothing of that. It actually is a musical. And then Lady Gaga comes in as the love interest, where she almost softens this hardened criminal,
psychopath,
you know, and, and you want to love him, and then he's also in the jury, and then he's now almost having to do his own cross-examination because he stands up as his own counsel. It's really difficult if you're a fan, but it's, I think, wonderful if you are interested in seeing the metamorphosis of this character of the Joker, which I have been for a long time, especially with the lead actors who've played that, you know, from Jack Nicholson to Heath Ledger to everyone else. But I just found that the move from this dark psycho thriller to musical was a bit of a departure for me. So tomorrow in theatres...
Okay.
He
didn't like it.
Look forward to a Folie à Deux.
Can you see he didn't like it?
I think the director had a psychosis of his own.
you don't think she saved the movie?
I think she made it interesting. I think the franchise was going downhill. I think she brought something to it.
Okay. The Wild Robot.
Wild Robot is a different kind of psychosis that I really enjoyed. So
you did?
I really did. Mm. And it's there's something that happens, McFarlane, when you get big celebrities to do voices of animated characters. They either do it very well or they become very self-indulgent.
Yes.
Lupita Nyong'o is in this one. It's a wonderful story about this robot called Roz, right? And it's short for Roslyn Unit 7134. But she finds herself shipwrecked in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's severe, like AI, like automated robot, and it's really well to do. So it's well done. And she now is in, you know, the wilderness with all these animals. Yes. And this the fox and possums and all kinds of weird things.
Okay.
And then she finds herself inheriting a little baby gosling who's been abandoned by the mom for one reason or another, and okay. then she learns motherhood. And for the first time, it's not one of those movies that manipulate you into feeling like, oh, I like this character, I hate that character. There's no big aha moments. There's no big, like, activities that happen. All you get is this wonderful story about how they sort of go. It's like if a miniseries was condensed into an hour and a half.
Yes.
You get to go through all the emotions slowly, and you really get to enjoy it. And it's wholesome that the humor is also not vulgar and aggressive, especially because this is the kind of the same people who wrote Shrek.
Okay. Makes sense.
All the Shrek series, and so it can get a bit, you know, mm-hmm. far off. But Wild Robot has been really well, and
is it animation?
Very animated. Mm.
Oh, okay, cool.
But
okay.
well animated, mm-hmm. and expensive looking, but also very accessible. And I think this is one of those that we hate sequels, but I wouldn't mind seeing another one of these with Roz in a different setting.
Okay.
But it's this wonderful mix between like robotics and nature, and you see that.
Earlier on, you spoke about Lupita Nyong'o's voice.
Yes.
Does she get it right? Or does
oh,
she, get
she gets it so right. She get, you know.
You're like brimming with pride.
I have a thing because the way she brought the acting, and I saw a bit of the behind the scenes as well, and she's so into it. She's animated in her hands and her facial expressions. She's moving around, and it's so nice to see that, you know, we're not Wakandering forever and relying on green screen, but we can do the old stuff of animation.
Yes.
You know, where it's voice artists who yes. really excite us. So I really enjoyed that, especially for where it's pitched. So that came out last week. It's in theaters. It's called The Wild Robot.
Megaloposis.
Oh, how shall I judge thee? Let me count the ways. So it's an interesting movie if you really want to get stuck into a movie with many subplots, and there's so many of them, but I'm going to try and give you like the salient ones. There is a world. There's a mega billionaire who has worked out this thing, right? This piece of technology that is able to cure illnesses. It's able to help with architecture. It's able to almost build a utopia.
Mm-hmm.
And this Caesar Catalina person is able to then create this environment. So he wants to do this. This is what he wants to do. But he finds himself having to fight off other people who are not interested in this kind of life that he's willing to build. So he's constantly fighting his parents, who are quite wealthy, the establishment being the government, in building this utopia, lest it falls into the wrong hands as well. So it's an interesting, almost Batman storyline, where there's now a love interest who comes in, who's interested in power, who wants to make money out of this particular material.
Yeah.
and this utopia. And he's finding himself having to manage sort of the relationship of the love of his life, but also loyalties to his family, but also these grand ideas of a utopia. The plot is so holy, it's like a colander. There's so many things that you need to, but again, this is a kind of viewing that you need on a Sunday afternoon when you're just about to relax, when you're waiting for Carte Blanche to come on, and just, you know, want to prepare.
That's it, I'm sold. Keep this guy. These are A's.
As you prep, it's called like Megalopolis, and it's running in theaters right now.
Jailbreak, Love on the Run.
Did you enjoy it?
No.
Okay. So,
what did you like? What did you like?
This is definitely.
What was your favorite?
Also very American.
It's very American. But the interesting thing about this is that this is those documentaries that remind me of the assassination of Gianni Versace, of the O.J. Simpson trial. It's like you know when you watch what's the channel called? Crime Investigation.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is it. Let me tell you the story.
Yes, it's very much that, hey?
It's very much
that, absolutely.
There's a lady She's well respected, 17 years in corrections.
But also, why couldn't they just give it a bit more entertainment? Why couldn't they do it cleaner?
And a bit of acting would have been like, nice.
You know. Like, give me something. It was so 80s as well.
They did it. I think what Netflix is also trying to do is to give us the historification, to be able to put it in time and make it seem
still,
that way.
It needs,
but because you and I have watched good TV,
yes,
and terrible TV and good movies and bad movies,
yeah.
When we see something that's been done cheaply where corners have been cut, we go,
you see it very quickly. You see it immediately, yes.
Can I tell you, I got the feeling they hired Jerry Springer's crew.
Yeah. They were like, Eki.
Was it that bad?
Yeah, no, it was that bad. It was that bad.
And so they were fucking.
But I enjoyed it because this story is interesting, but it's very topical in America.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lady in corrections. She's done very well. Career correctional officer. She's very decorated. She's second in charge in the prison. She finds love with this inmate who's in there for a myriad of charges, including the most heinous murder, attempted murder. In fact, he narrowly escapes the death penalty. So they escape. And then they chronicle this very wild escape through America, really, until they're found. But the Americans were gripped to bits about this because everyone tried to understand what happened. Why would she turn when she has a wonderful career? She's a couple of years away from retirement. Surely this man manipulated her. And then they have these wonderful interviews with people who know them, and they all swear they know the story. Everyone's like, no, she would never have done it. She never would have never done it. And it turns out that actually she was quite complicit in it. It doesn't end well for one of the characters, so I'll leave that for your viewing.
Did I not say it's American?
How Nandi Power, America, and
I can make it all
Nandi.
Parallels. Parallelogram.
Yeah,
but this one doesn't have a medical degree, but it might as well be. So Jailbreak on Love on the Run is running on Netflix currently.
Okay, let's get into the interesting stuff.
Yeah.
The theatres.
Yes, I love the theatres. So I was actually sitting listening to the radio, and this came up when Dr. Jerry Mufuking came on the radio chatting about how there'll be something very interesting I've never encountered.
A reading, an open reading.
An open reading, which is very interesting, right? I never thought, you know, live readings would actually be a thing, but it's actually so interesting. So this is, as you know, the 58th anniversary of Lesotho's independence, and they're having this wonderful cultural exhibition happening at the Market Theatre.
200 years, celebrating independence.
Yes. So this is the foundation celebrates the heritage of the 200 years. But for me, what was interesting about it is that we're also getting to hear stories told about our neighbour, and which is very woven into the tapestry of South Africa in a way that we've never experienced before.
Mm.
So, and it's also poignant that it's happening at the Chankani Theatre, at the Market Theatre.
Mm.
So that'll be running tomorrow, free for everybody.
Not for everybody. You've got to call and reserve a ticket.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it is free. It's free.
Yes,
so,
it's free.
You know, you'll all come.
It's free.
We can't trust you guys.
You must have made the phone call in the booking, but there is no cost for you. So it's tomorrow. Yeah.
And so it's not a play. It's a reading of a play.
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, it's a reading of a musical, which I think is going to be interesting. So the actors will just be sitting on chairs like this, but reading, which I think is fantastic. So it's a once-off reading, and then obviously they're preparing for the actual play itself.
Yes, and I think it's interesting that it's... The format for me is very interesting because I've been to the theatre 1,000 times, but I've never enjoyed a reading, so I'm quite interested.
But do they do it in character, though? When they do a reading, do they do it in character, or do they just take us through what can expect the tapestry of the actual...
Well, they're actors, so actors will read like actors.
It felt like a table reading.
So, okay. Yeah, but it's they're actors, so they will read like actors.
It felt like.
So the studies say that audiences actually... I'm more interested in what's happening behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it totally why they're doing this. So
people
will want to know what makes the show happen.
Mm.
You know, they want to know what we're going to do in the end. But people are more interested in what actually happens behind the scenes. And so I totally get why this will work and how a reading is so different from the acting itself.
For me, it's the very same as knowing... I went to Fashion Week last week for my sins. And knowing why a designer designs.
Yeah.
So the theory, the story behind the collection,
uh-huh.
and just seeing it cold.
Yeah.
You get such a deep appreciation for all the elements.
What
for me, the same.
What I'm interested in is whether while the reading happens, are they going to stage the reading like they're staging it for an audience?
Okay.
Or are they going to do it like they would do a reading? So in a normal reading, right, Leroy has his script, I have my script, McFarlane has his script.
Yes.
And then there is a director right here with us.
Yes.
So we're not just reading by ourselves. We've got, everybody's got a script, directors are in front of us with his script too. And as I read The Joker and I start reading, he may stop me.
Yes.
And say, well, actually, how about we do this? Mm-hmm. Or what do you think?
This is what you need to bring out when you're saying this.
Or
this, yes.
This actually, this right here is what I would like us to focus on. So I'm keen to see whether are they going to do a reading like a reading would actually happen? Or are they going to stage a reading for an audience and make the reading like an offering? Or will they do it authentically?
I think they'll make it an offering. Only
I also think so.
Only because I think they would have had the reading with the director prior.
Of course, but the fun would be to see real tapestry of putting it together.
But there must be also some sort of entertainment value, right? Because you're not going to sit there and just
time.
Like, okay,
time.
Because I think your reading might take a while.
No, and of course, it takes a whole day.
Yeah.
Of course.
I'm just so fascinated that I've, in years of engaging in the fine arts, never experienced this.
It must also answer the question, why then a reading?
Yeah. So, but I also think it's...
You see what I'm saying?
But I also think there's something to be said about wanting... Because these are not plays. Right? So, what I've come to understand, especially with the reading of essays,
but this is a play.
Truly.
It's a play that's going to happen.
Yes.
So, they're giving us the reading before the play.
Yes.
I don't know when the play is going to be, but the play is coming.
Yes.
So the question is... Why reading and how far are you going to stage the reading?
Yes. But then does that not negate what happens when we, McFarlane and I, buy tickets in 3 months' time to go watch the play?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, because
I
think now they bring it to life, right?
Yeah, no, yeah. Very different. You're going to find it will be very different.
Yeah, and because for me, I'm not paying to see the reading, I almost feel like
you've got an in.
Yeah, because now when I go and pay for the tickets, I've always said that part of the sadness of theatre is that there's so much wonderful things that happen in the background, right? Mm. And the collaboration, the mise-en-scene, and the inspirations around things we don't even pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
That when you actually watch it, it happens so quickly. Sometimes I'm just goes, everyone just stop. I just want to make sure I understand where we are because I'm seeing things that are happening.
But
that Jabu, are you meant to be feeling this way?
This is the point. This is exactly the point I'm making. That I'm not sure that you'll have the privilege to take it in like a reading is taken in. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And that's not... I mean, look, I think some... I don't know.
But you see...
I don't know.
But Pamela, remember as well, right? You speaking from a place of knowledge. Right?
Don't you want to see a reading like a reading would be?
I would, but when the way that you're looking at it and analyzing it.
Let me give an example.
It's not like somebody, I just want to see what a reading is. Well, you're speaking from a place of knowledge.
There are many ways to cut it. Mm-hmm. So you could do a reading of literally just one chapter or one page.
Yeah.
You don't have to do the reading of the entire play.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And maybe in that one chapter, you could just... then really immerse yourselves in this one chapter.
Mm.
And I think people would love that.
Mm.
Where you are authentically doing a reading with the interaction with the director and so on. So you will come back for the entire play, but you've given us a taste of what a real reading is like.
Mm.
That would be interesting, and it will not take the whole day.
But if you don't know what you don't know,
yes, of course,
you'll appreciate whatever it is that's given to you.
Yeah.
So it's like when you're in TV or when you're in radio, when you listen, you listen with a totally different ear to someone that's just enjoying it and listening because they're listening and taking it in passively.
Where
that would be Zimowa analyzer or was that voice or couple?
Did it get there?
I didn't like the way that Wangana said. You look from a very analytical eye.
And you know what they're saying? They're saying, Kimu Kid, which is, I think it's going to be nice.
Because we also get to enjoy some of the music musical elements that go with it. So there will be a musical interludes and
they're asking you to dress up, hey? Everybody must come dressed up in Shweshwe or Kubo ya Hao. They're thinking, they're saying it's going to be a celebration from the door. It's going to be like Mukete food. And
so, guys, Nakiba Kim Soto, so please, just respect us. And it's not very often, because remember also in our country, more often than not, we're always fed all of these other cultures. I don't want to say anyone before I get shut down or whatever, but we fed every other culture. It's nice when you see, for example, Basotho being elevated and being given opportunity, and people are being allowed to experience Basotho. You know what I mean? Because everybody thinks South Africa, it's us.
There are three tribes.
Right?
The only three tribes. Yeah. I have a deeper... I'm a Joburg Musudu. So my Salamare not only comes out like...
Musudu.
On Broadway.
I'm a Joburg Musudu.
I love it!
With a first name like Leroy, you can imagine. So, and what I appreciate about this is that I really hope that becomes a trend. So that's why I'm so intrigued by it. Because I'd love to know what happens in Ngamaxhosa, Bakwandebele, and, you know, all the other tribes, when I want to observe from a place where I'm not just passively taking it in, but I'm immersed in a room where we're hearing the language, the music, and the goers who are in the room with me are people who are experiencing or part of the culture. Because, you know, I mean, I made the terrible mistake the one year. I went to a wedding and I wore a Ndebele blanket the wrong way around. I didn't even know it was possible. But my point is, had you just had access to have a moment to sit and just revel in the culture, right? In a way where you also get people who are professionals, who understand the dexterity and the complexity of the language, and they're able to deliver it to you. I'd really enjoy that. So as a Johannesburg Musudu, I'll be there with my Sana Morena.
And wear it the right way around.
Hey, I'll check with you. Leroy.
Well, I'll wear the one jacket I wear to every Mukiti Manyalo Mafu.
Thanks, Leroy.
And if you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.